Well, taking care of your teeth is important at every age. And coming up here now, we're going to be talking about why adults need regular checkups and what you can do to keep your teeth healthy. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Back with us, Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula. Dr. Bhagavatula is a doctor of dental surgery, also an associate professor for the program in dental public health, and a researcher as well, all at Marquette University's School of Dentistry, and of course in Milwaukee. It's a great school of dentistry for sure. And as we talk with Dr. Bhagavatula, I hope you'll join in with your questions about dentistry. You can reach us at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or shoot us an email, the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula, welcome. Thanks for coming back and being with us again.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Larry. Thanks for having me. Yeah. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing just great. And as I talk with you, I want our listeners to join in.
Mm-hmm.
And as you listen to our guest, I hope you will. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. You know what, just to start with, let's talk a bit about Marquette University's Dental School. Very rich history going back, I know it's over 100 years.
Oh, yes, it is. That is, yeah, we are the only dental school in the state, and a majority of our students serve in the state of Wisconsin. So even people who come from out of state and join our school tend to stay back in Wisconsin. Maybe they like the weather too much, but we do have a lot of people stay back in Wisconsin. So, yeah, it's a great resource for the state. And again, we are tucked away in the southeastern corner of the state. But again, our students and our graduates go out and practice all over Wisconsin. But even we have some rotations. You know, our students go to other places in Wisconsin and treat patients there. Yeah, so rich history. We do get to do quite a bit for the state of Wisconsin. I can say that very confidently.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. And the school just received a grant from the Delta Dental of Wisconsin Foundation. Mm-hmm. What's mm-hmm. that going to be used for?
That's something that's getting all of us really excited here at the school. It's a $2 million gift. They wanted us to enhance the care that we provide for people with special health care needs. So it's still in the planning stages, but, you know, there will be a clinic that will be established, which would become a home, a dental home for people with special health care needs. So we'll be serving a lot of people in the clinic. And, you know, with Marquette, the double advantage is, you know, you have students who get to treat these patients, spend some time with these patients. You know, once they get comfortable and they transition out into private practice, they are more comfortable in treating these patients, right? So I think we are all really excited about this grant and what it offers to the state of Wisconsin as a whole. So two advantages, one as a home as well as, you know, providing future practitioners who can provide care outside. So
yeah,
that's something really good. So
yeah, it sure is. And the dental school is doing some renovation and rejuvenation mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. some of its clinics, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the clinics are being rejuvenated. So in all, we have five clinics within the School of Dentistry. I mean, we operate on a clinical, so our students are in groups, and there are five clinics in the school. One of the clinics is relatively new, but the four older clinics, they are being renovated in a phased manner. So, you know, over the course of the next year or so, these clinics would be, you know, renovated. We'll be bringing in new equipment. A lot of new technology has come out into dental practice, dental world these days. So some of our clinics will be, you know, brought up to spec. So we are kind of, you know, training dentists for the future. now.
Yeah.
They're
well, I think
ready to use technology, and you know, a lot has changed. Maybe that's one topic we can talk about today. A lot of new technologies have come in, so the clinics would be bring up to spec with whatever is there in the real world out there. Yeah.
And the digital technology has had to have been just an enormous jump over the last years.
Yeah, well, every profession that has been revolutionized with digital technology, dentistry is along with everyone on there. And, we have changed our curriculum to bring in digital technology, and some of the equipment, et cetera, are also being changed so we can, prepare for the future. Prepare for the future. That's what our dean says. You want to get graduates who are ready to go out and be the dentists of the future. So that's what we are planning for. So,
good enough. Jeff and Racine has a question for you. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Larry, and your guest. Recently, I've had some crowns installed that are the ceramic composite. Some of the older ones were the gold ones. And, it was very convenient because my doctor can make them in his office. It's a one-visit thing. Mm-hmm. However, I've had two of them that have portions of them just crack and broken off. Mm-hmm. And he offered to, replace them for half price. Mm-hmm. But how long could I expect these to last? The one I went in for this morning that was very sharp was 7 years old. I think the other one was only about 2 years old.
No, the porcelain is a very hard material, so they do last for a very long time. So I don't really know why the one broke off, but there may be many different causes. Sometimes patients who chew or eat hard stuff quite often, they may have some problems with that. Or, the opposing tooth is also a porcelain. They both are hard materials. So when you keep biting on them and each of them is hitting each other, so then there can be a crack. But they do last a long time. And with newer materials, we have something called zirconium, which is very beneficial. It's much harder. So it lasts much longer. But 10, 15 years is typical time frame for them to last. I don't think, there may be some extenuating circumstances under which a crown may crack. And again, the older materials, so what people used to do was they used to use what's called a porcelain fused to metal type of a crown, where you would have a metal on top of which you would have some porcelain. So the amount of porcelain that's on the crown would be much less, and it's not as strong. But with zirconium, it's much stronger, and we don't need that metal. So it has both an aesthetic advantage as well as a physical advantage as being a harder material. Did I answer your question, or do you still? 10 to 15 years is a good amount of time, I think. So 2 years, maybe something went wrong somewhere along the line that may have led to it. And without really knowing the specifics of what happened, I should not be commenting, right? It's not right on my part to just go ahead and say what went wrong. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say zirconium?
Zirconium is a good material. It's more commonly being used these days. So that's porcelain too, but it's a newer type of porcelain. So it's zirconium has been used in medical implants and hip joint replacements and such things for a long time. The dental application is relatively recent, so it's a good material to make a crown with.
Zirconium, okay. Thank you very much for calling, Jeff. Appreciate your call. Stephen Duluth wondered when it's appropriate to get dental implants.
Dental implants have come to become the mainstay in replacing single tooth. Like if you just lose one tooth and if all other parameters are, good, then we could go for a dental implant. For people who have diabetes or osteoporosis, in those cases, a dental implant may not be. Again, this decision has to be made by the dentist. Mm-hmm. taking into consideration everything pertaining to that patient, you know. So dental implants are a real good way of replacing a single tooth, but, you know, certain parameters have to be met. You know, if it's just one tooth and if there is inadequate, you know, bone support. And one other thing I would want to mention is for any of the dental processes, anything artificial that we put in, the amount of oral hygiene the patient has to take care of, like, you know, do flossing or very judicious and rigorous flossing and brushing around that area and cleaning is actually essential. No, it's probably your natural teeth are more forgiving than even the processes. So I would say if you have a dental implant, you should be maintaining it even better than a natural tooth.
Okay? All right.
And
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I just wanted to reiterate that, you know, oral hygiene becomes an important piece. But dental implants are more predictable these days. There are being more and more dental implants being placed. General dentists are getting courses and they are also doing dental implants these days. So they have become much more common. But there are some specific situations in which it may be contraindicated, like, you know, there may be some health problems with the patient or if the patient's oral hygiene is not really good.
Really good, yeah. And that could be an issue. And we can talk some more certainly about that with our guest, Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula, who is associate professor in dental public health at Marquette University School of Dentistry. He'll be with us till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news, and then we will be back with our guests. Stay with us. Taking a look at dental care on the show today. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today. Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula, our guest, associate professor for the program in public dental health and a researcher at Marquette University School of Dentistry in Milwaukee. Great to have him back. And certainly, I hope you'll join in with your questions. What do you want to know about keeping your teeth healthy? Other kinds of questions relating to your teeth? Join in at 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. We had a caller or an emailer from Lakeshore wondering what the best working over-the-counter teeth whitening products are. Is there a new over-the-counter paint-on product?
Yeah, there are quite a few products on the market. I mean, there are in-office products that the dentists apply. You know, all of these generally have the same chemical, but it may be at a different concentration, if you would. So if you go to the dental office, they can do a procedure. Dentists themselves in dental offices can sell some of these products. But over the counter, I think we have a lot of brands that are selling these whitening strips. So any of those, I couldn't really vouch for a brand per se. But, you know, I would say go see the dentist and make sure that it is right for you, because you know, there are some products that can cause sensitivity of teeth, you know, especially if you have a thin enamel or if your enamel has wear out in some places, and if you put these teeth whitening strips, it can lead to sensitivity. So I think anything that is done is better if you just, you know, consult your dentist before picking a product directly. So it can be it can vary from individual to individual, but you know, in office products, there have been a few new products that have come up. One of them does have calcium in it, so it kind of decreases the amount of sensitivity that may come up. So, like I said, you know, go to the dentist, maybe see them, and go by their prescription.
There we go. What are some of the side effects of not taking care of your teeth?
No, obviously, you know, most commonly we think about when we say dental health, we are thinking about two things. The first one is cavities. The second one is gum disease, right? So if an individual is not cleaning his or her teeth at a reg, you know, as you know, desirable, it can lead to either cavities and or gum disease, right? So, and dental diseases, I would say, are not self-limiting. That is, once you have a cavity, it's not like something you take a medicine and it stops. No, it just keeps progressing and progressing until it becomes really painful and may need some extensive treatment. So if you don't take good care of your teeth, that is bound to happen. You know, especially that's, you know, we see less gum disease in children, but once you get into the older age, because of changing health histories and medications, and as such, you know, a part of aging, people start having some gum disease problems as well, right? So once you get the gum disease problem and it gets into the inner tissues of the tooth, like, you know, into the mouth, it's called the periodontium. If you get into the periodontium, it can it can cause more problems where the teeth become loose and you may have to get those teeth removed, right? So both of these can occur if you don't take regular care of your teeth. Obviously, everybody agrees that we have to brush at least twice a day, mm-hmm. and at least floss or use some kind of an aid to clean between the teeth at least once every day, right? So my mantra is brush in the morning to keep your friends, brush in the night to keep your teeth. Okay, so brush twice a day, once in the morning and once in the night, and at least rinse off your mouth after you eat anything, right? So maybe after an afternoon snack, at least rinse with plain water, if not with a fluoride or mouth rinse. Right, so doing that can help prevent cavities to the greatest extent. And a lot of these mouthwashes do have, medicines that would prevent gum disease as well. So it's not a bad idea. Maybe brush twice and rinse after every main meal. That will be a good idea to keep your teeth healthy. And to me, there's nothing that beats the natural tooth. Right. If you can, as long as you can keep your natural tooth in your mouth, the better it is. Right. You know, anybody would agree with me that, you know, even the best implant or the best crown that a dentist can do is still not as good as a real or a natural tooth, because the natural tooth comes with a lot of additional advantages. You know, there are some sensitivity issues. You know, you have that sensation of having a tooth in your mouth, and it has a natural protection in terms of your gums, you know, which, you know, when you're biting down, you have that proprioception is what it's called. So that can help in many ways. So it's better to keep the natural tooth, right? You know, there are a few people who may just think, you know, I can just lose my teeth and go in for a denture, but it's not really a beneficial proposition. So try to keep your natural teeth for as long as you can. That's what I always tell my students, to educate their patients about, you know, the importance of a natural tooth, and regular upkeep is required to continue to have a natural tooth.
Good ideas there that you've given us, Dr. Bhagavatula. Roger in Spring Green has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I've read a couple of articles in scientific journals in the past year that show a strong correlation, or they're about studies, I should say, and I think they're done mostly in the UK, that show a fairly strong correlation between poor oral hygiene, as evidenced by tooth decay and gum disease, and the onset of dementia. I was wondering if your guest has anything more to add to that.
Okay.
I have not read the literature. But you know, I'm sorry. I think I should plead ignorance on that. I mean, I have not read that literature, so maybe it is. I'm sorry. When I have read a lot about the relationship between oral health and other conditions like heart disease and pregnancy, but I'm sorry. I have not read that. But thanks for pointing me to that. I'll definitely look that literature up. And if ever I'm back on this show, I'll try to talk about it some more.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Well, what about, you mentioned heart you know, heart disease, oral hygiene and heart disease or other problems associated with poor oral hygiene?
Oral hygiene, what happens within the gums, for example, you know, one of the factors, risk factors for heart disease is chronic inflammation. So if you have chronic inflammation that is persisting over a long period of time, some of the chemicals that the body produces in countering or interacting with those can also affect your heart. So that's the theoretical basis behind that. So when you have gum disease, when you say something is gum disease, it is a chronic persistent inflammation. So it stays on for a very long time. So the inflammatory mediators that are being produced by the body can also lead to some bad effects. So there have been some studies which found very strong correlation between gum disease and poor pregnancy outcomes. There have been studies that looked at the relationship between heart disease and gum disease, and they did find a correlation. Again, the problem with this kind of studies is there are many risk factors for a heart disease, right? So you have poor diet, you have smoking, you have lack of exercise, you have stress, and a lot of these things are going on. So many a times when you see people who are smoking or people who are not taking good care of their general health, they're probably also not caring as much for their oral health, right? So tease out those differences may become a challenge, but there have been studies which have been planned very meticulously. They did find that there is an increase in the risk. It's not like, you know, on par with smoking, for example, but there is a risk nonetheless. And also, just set aside the argument about general health and the relationship to oral health. Taking care of your teeth at least helps your teeth, right? So even if the research comes out and says, no, it does not have an effect on heart disease, but it does help your teeth, and it's important to have your teeth. I mean, we may not value oral health as much, but once you think about it, if you lose teeth, your ability to smile, ability to eat, ability to converse with people, interact, social interactions, a lot of these are lost. So it's good to have your natural teeth. I kind of come back to the same point all over, but I just want to emphasize and reemphasize the importance of having and saving a natural tooth. That's
Ross in Fitchburg emailed to ask what he can do to keep his gums healthy. They are receding as he ages.
And gum recession is a very common problem, especially as people age. And one of the problems that occurs with gum recession is the root surfaces start getting exposed. And it can lead to sensitivity. So there are one of few ways in which, this can be handled by dentists. First thing we could do is, to do like a fluoride treatment or something. Now we apply a chemical on there to stop that sensitivity. Okay. Then if there is a need, then they can do a filling. But to actually treat a recession, you would need to go in for a periodontal surgery where they would either take a graft from another place in the mouth and put it in that place or try to reposition the gum line at that tooth to kind of stretch it up and, suture it up there to cover up that recession. And one common thing that, like the common cause of recession is, brushing very vigorously onto the gums. Now, that kind of takes away some of the gum line. Right. So as such, if the recession has occurred, we can prevent some of the symptoms and do like a surgical treatment. But in general, lightly brushing over the gum and massaging it and keeping it clean kind of helps, other areas from being affected because of recession.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I always kind of brush my gums, too.
You should clean your gums, but, don't be as rigorous. Anything is a body tissue, even your teeth. You should brush very lightly instead of scrubbing them really hard like you were cleaning, tiles or something. Just use a soft brush. In case you have sensitive gums or you have sensitive teeth or there is recession, maybe you can go for an extra soft toothbrush. you know, there is a common misconception that if you have a hard toothbrush, you can brush it off more rigorously and you can get a cleaner surface. But quite to the contrary, you're better off using a soft toothbrush. Okay, because, you know, as you scrub, you know, teeth are made of or covered with something called enamel. And enamel is the hardest tissue in the body. But if you do that, if you, you know, injure it day in and day out with really hard scrubbing, you know, bit by bit, you start losing the enamel. And same thing with the gums as well. So keep them clean, floss well, you know, brush very lightly. Actually, if you brush lightly onto the gums, it's like a massaging for the gums, right? So it can lead to healthier blood circulation and, you know, healthier gums as well. You should be brushing off your gums, but maybe lightly.
You know, I use an electric toothbrush, and I really like it a lot better. I think I do a better job with the electric toothbrush than I did with the regular toothbrush.
Oh, yeah. Electric toothbrushes offer quite a few advantages. You know, once you put it at the surface, it kind of takes the time to clean off all the surfaces and, you know, the type of motion. And some of them have timers that can time you. For other people, they play a song also. I heard there are some Justin Bieber songs that are played on toothbrushes. So I mean, just to keep the kids, I mean, for the kids, we generally tell them as long as you can sing the ABCD song, maybe adults can pick another song that they can play. But, you know, if you can do a really good job with a manual toothbrush as well, right? And in the electric toothbrushes, there are many different oscillating and rotating and all of these things. Some are slightly better than others, but and also one thing about electric toothbrushes is especially for people who have special needs or older adults who have problems holding on to the toothbrush, etc., it's much easier for them to use. And also, they have become quite a bit cheaper these days, so most people can go for them. I think we can get them from anywhere from $30 or so online or even stores. So they are much cheaper. So people going in for electric brushes can really help them. But one thing is for sure, use an electric brush or a manual toothbrush. Make sure that the toothbrush hits every nook and cranny of the mouth. All of the teeth have to be cleaned all of the times. You know, people get into these routines. We see this quite often. The lower front teeth, you know, as you're brushing, people would just brush the outer surfaces on one side and somehow just skip over the lower front teeth and go to the next side. And that's what happens on the back too, right? So, you know, you get into that habit, you probably wouldn't even realize and you're neglecting that one particular area. That shouldn't be happening. Every tooth, every one of the times. One of my faculty colleagues says, go for a smallest size head that you have. It's not like a very large toothbrush. If you go for a smaller toothbrush, you may need more strokes on the tooth to clean the entire mouth, right? So use a toothbrush with a smaller head and very lightly brush off everything, right? So that's what that's the mantra, I would say.
Diana in Wauwatosa, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you, Larry. Thank you, doctor, for taking my call. So it concerns a daughter of mine. She's 28. She got her first cavity, and 3 months ago she went into the dentist to get it filled. A couple weeks after that, she started having pain. They've done poultices on it to try to calm her nerves. She was told something like at 28, her nerves were just, they're like very youthful. And they're saying if nothing calms down, if she still has pain, next thing is a root canal. What do you think about that? Do you think maybe a second opinion might be in order? She just seems so young to get a root canal.
No. I mean, let me just step back. Let's talk about what happens in a cavity, right? You have a tooth, which you have a solid surface outside, which is called the enamel. Then you have dentine. And inside the tooth, you have what's called the pulp, right? As the cavity progresses through the tooth, and it gets to the pulp, or when it gets close to the pulp, you start having really severe pain before touching the pulp. Okay, that's probably what is happening. So the dentist's approach, I'd say I would agree with it because they probably put down some medication to calm the nerves down instead of going in for a root canal. But if that continues, I'd say it means that the pulp has been affected and the pulp has, is infected. And once the pulp is directly infected, there is no, the standard line of treatment is to go in for a root canal treatment. Okay, I think that approach is correct because once you have the bacteria get to the pulp, it will get inflamed, right? So the body starts reacting and your pulp gets inflamed. And once the pulp gets inflamed, you'll start having really severe pain, right? So what the dentist is probably trying to do is calm the nerve down. And if the nerves calm down, you can just go for a regular filling and, stay with it for a long time. But if the nerve is in fact infected, the only option and the best option is to go for a root canal treatment. Root canal treatments are safe. Again, I have seen people who are much younger get a root canal. Okay, so they are safe and there are much better biocompatible, that is, materials that the body takes better are available. So it's a good treatment plan, I would say, from the information you have given me. It is a conservative approach. They're trying to save the tooth. They're trying to avoid the root canal. And if inevitable, you would go in for a root canal. Yes.
Mm, there you go, Diana.
Did I answer your question?
That is it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Yeah.
John in Madison, your turn. Hi, John.
Oh, hi, Larry. First-time caller. My mom had a mild stroke about 4 years ago, and up until then, she had taken great care of her teeth, mm-hmm. and her tooth care routine has gone downhill significantly, mm-hmm. probably a little bit because of dexterity, mm-hmm. and she's actually going to have some extractions now, and I'm wondering what we can do, to help her get her tooth health routine, better.
Yeah.
No, I think electric toothbrushes are a really good option in people who have some dexterity issues. Again, if you don't want to go in for an electric toothbrush, if holding on to something really as tiny as a toothbrush is difficult, there are other modifications that can be done. I think you can buy toothbrushes which have a broad, wide handle on them. Or, I have seen people just go through and put a bike handle cover, right? A really broad one, right? So you just stick your toothbrush into that bike handle cover that gives you enough to hold on to and brush your teeth. And again, if possible, after she brushes, maybe, go back and have a look and make sure that the teeth have been cleaned.
Yeah. Right?
So that's probably a very important thing because, if the plaque accumulates, there is more bacteria on the teeth, it can, the gums can start creating more problems or, the cavities can occur. It'll just complicate things. So prevention is the best, especially in people who have compromised health.
Situations, yeah. Well, Dr. Bhagavatula, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula, Associate Professor at Marquette University School of Dentistry in Milwaukee. We'll have him back and we'll do it again. Tomorrow, Phil Pelletieri, our entomologist, is back to talk about bees, caterpillars, and ants, and probably more. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.